This Chanukah, I want to focus on Parshas Emor, believe it or not, right? What's in Parshas Emor? So, the middle, towards the end of Parshas Emor, talks about what we know as Parshas HaMayadeis. It basically goes through all the different Yamim Tevim of the year, starting with Sukkos, right? There's a header pasuk of Daber Bnei Yisrael v'amarta leihem mayadei Hashem asher tikru'u oisa mikra'i kodesh eileihem mayadei, that Hashem tells Moshe, go speak to the Jews, tell them these are the, let's call them holidays, but really I think Mayad, the translation that works for me is like a meeting. Ohel Mayad means the tent of meeting. It's places and time where we meet up with Hashem. So these are the meetings of Hashem that we call them holy meetings. Eileihem mayadei, these are my meetings, my holidays, Hashem says. And then it goes through the calendar. It talks about all the different Yamim Tevim that we have. It starts with Pesach because that is in Nisan, which is the Chodesh Harishon. It's the first month. Then it goes to Shavuos, from Shavuos to Rosh Hashanah, followed by Yom Kippur, and finally Sukkos, which from a Teredic, from a biblical point of view, that's really all the Yom Tevim that we have. Everything else, Tu B'Shvat, Lag B'Omer, Chanukah, Purim, all that came after. No real mention in the Torah for it. It doesn't commemorate any nace that happens in Tanakh. These five Yom Tevim are really the biblical Yom Tevim, if we can call them that. So that's what we have here. Now, it doesn't talk about Karbanos here. It talks about Isser Melacha and the mitzvahs that we have to do. It talks about the Arba Minim. It talks about eating matzah. It talks about bringing the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. And it talks about Kapara that we got on Yom Kippur. It talks really about the Yontif, the mitzvah of the day, sort of like the what the Yontif is all about, right? What we meet Hashem with. Right, on Sukkos we meet Hashem with Arba Minim, on Pesach we meet Hashem with matzah, not eating chametz. That's what it focuses on here. So it's very interesting because why on earth am I talking about this? This seemingly has nothing to do with Chanukah, but if you follow the calendar, you have Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and then the next biblical Yontif is again Pesach, but there's a bunch in the interim, and the first one that comes after Sukkos is there's a bunch of non-biblical Yom Tovim that also happen during the winter, and the first one that comes right after Sukkos is Chanukah. So if the Torah were to talk about the Yontif, let's say the Torah were to not only talk about biblical Yom Tovim, it would also talk about rabbinic Yom Tovim. So what would the first one that it would talk about be? It would be Chanukah. Now, could be coincidence, and then whatever I say after this is all meaningless, but I don't think so, because right after, I'll read you the last pasuk that it talks about Sukkos. It says, "Leman yidu darasechem ki basukkos yeshavti es bnei Yisrael v'hitzi'i esam eretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem lekechem v'daber Moshe's mayadei Hashem al bnei Yisrael." And Moshe speaks these are the mayadim, and he tells the Jews about it. Now, watch the next few psukim. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leimer, Tzavis bnei Yisrael v'yichu elecha shemen zayis zach kasis lamaor la'alais ner tamid. You should take a pure olive oil. It should be crushed to light, to in order to raise up a candle tamid consistently. Right, it should be burned consistently. Michutz la'pareichas ha'edus ba'oil ha'mayid yarech oisay aron me'er v'albeger lefnei Hashem tamid chukas el mudarisechem ala menorah ha'tahira yarech es aneres lefnei Hashem tamid. Then it moves on to talking about the Shulchan. So interestingly, it talks about the menorah. Now, on Chanukah, we light the menorah. So it's almost as though the Torah is hinting to Chanukah in some way. And what makes the matters even a little clearer is that in Parshas Tetzaveh, when it actually talks about the Avodah, when it talks about the Avodah of the Kehanim, and what they had to do about the Kelim of, not the Kelim, but it talks really about Big Day Kahuna, and it talks about what Aaron HaKohen's job in the Mishkan was. And over there, we have almost the exact same Pesukim. I mean, literally, almost to the T. It says, I'm not going to read you all the Pesukim, but it's basically like almost the exact same Pesukim. I just want to tell you where they are in case you want to look at it yourself. The first few pesukim in Parshas Tetzaveh. V'ata Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael v'yichu elecha Hashem en zayisach kasis la'ma'or laha alois ner tamid. Almost the exact same. There's a few minor differences, but almost the exact same pesukim. So over there is actually where it's talking about the menorah and the service of the kohen in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, right? But over here, we're talking about Yamim Tovim. Why are we talking now all of a sudden to stick back under a few repeat psukim? Why are we sticking those back in to talk about the menorah? So to me, it seems like Hashem is giving some sort of minor reference to the fact that Sukkot ends the explicit explanation that we're about to have of the holidays, about the Yom Tovim that we have, of the Yom Tovim Midaraisa that we have. But I'm going to give you a little hint that there's something else after Sukkot, and it's Chanukah, right? It's the antif where the mitzvah of the same way it discussed the mitzvah of the other Yom Tovim, the Midaraisa, it's now talking the mitzvah of Chanukah is menorah. So it tells us how to light menorah, that the menorah needs to be tamid, lahalis ner tamid, it needs to be shemen zayis zach, Allah menorah tahira. It gives the details of the mitzvah of Chanukah. I think it's some sort of hint to Chanukah, but I think it runs deeper than that, because I think that this is, I think the way I envision it, and I think this is the way to understand the really deep message about the flow of Yom Tovim and about Chanukah specifically, is that this is like the bookend. Imagine all the Yom Tovim lined up on a bookshelf. Chanukah is a bookend because it's not like the others, right? It's on the shelf with the rest of them, but it's not like the rest of them, meaning it's not its own book because it's not Midaraisa. So, but it's like a bookend in some way, if you will, right? And right at the beginning of Parshas Hamayodais, so it doesn't start right away just with the Yom Tovim that we have, it starts actually with Shabbos. And I think that Shabbos is the other bookend, because Shabbos also is not exactly like the Yom Tovim that we have, and I'll explain in a minute why not, but it's sitting there as a bookend. So you have Shabbos and Chanukah as the two bookends of Parshas Hamayodais. Now, to get into what I mean by bookends and why they are not exactly like the rest of the Mayadim, and what we can learn from that. So to start, I think let's talk first about the text of what the Torah talks about Chanukah. I think if you read through this, the one recurring theme, these three psukim, it's Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Aleph through Dalet, the one recurring theme is purity, right? Rav Noach Weinberg has a sefer, 48 Ways to Wisdom. I happen to learn it with my wife, and he has a definition. One of the, he goes through, he explains the Memches Kinyanim Latera. So one of them is Tahara. They have to be pure. So we think of usually Tahara as like this lofty, grand, like some major, like it's a very abstract idea, something that we're not able to connect with so easily. He has the most fundamental, simple, basic definition that you could have for purity, which, think of pure silver, pure gold, right? That's what he defines. Pure just means with nothing foreign mixed in, nothing other than what should be there or what belongs there is there. It's completely devoid of anything that should not be there. So that, I think, using that definition of purity is the recurring theme here. What do I mean? So first of all, shemen zayis zach, it needs to be the purest type of oil. The ner that burns needs to be tumid. It needs to burn consistently through the night. There should be no breaks in the timing of the burning, meaning the burning should be pure almost, right? The amount of the in time, the burning should be pure. Nothing else should happen. It shouldn't not burn. It shouldn't start to go out. There should be enough that it could keep burning consistently and purely through the night. And we know it says, al menorah tahira. You have to light it on the tahar menorah, but the menorah itself was made from pure gold, but also from one piece of pure gold. There was no like chunked together pieces. It was all one pure piece of gold. And I think that this, both in time, in material, in the material of the menorah and what we use to light the menorah, right? All in a bunch of different ways, purity is the aspect of Chanukah. Now, in what way was Chanukah pure? Because the nes of Chanukah, right? I'm assuming again that this is a reference or a hint to the nes of Chanukah. Now, the nes of Chanukah was not necessarily very pure, if you could imagine. The Beis HaMikdash had just been defiled, and the place was probably ransacked when they got back there. The golden menorah that was glorious and beautiful was stolen. So all they had, the Gemara says, was an aluminum or tin menorah. It wasn't a very glorious moment when they lit that menorah, that nace that we're commemorating. Yet still, the Torah calls it pure. Why? Why would the Torah call it pure? Because they were doing their best. It's a celebration of man-made purity, right? They did the best with what they had, and pulling together whatever they could, they they were trying to be as pure as possible, meaning it was a small group of people, right? It wasn't infiltrated with anybody that didn't have the right intentions. They all had the purest intentions. They did everything they could to get the mitzvah in the purest way that they could possible, right? It wasn't as pure as it would have been, you know, before the Beis HaMikdash had been defiled, but it was in the purest way possible. They were lighting this menorah. And I think Hashem was showing them that if you guys try to be as pure as you can be, I'll give you that extra little push. I'll show you a little bit of extra purity that's in fact 100% pure, which is why they found that small jug of oil. Now, to contrast that to Shabbos, which we said is at the beginning of Parshas HaMaidos, which also does not really fit in, I think it doesn't fit in because to contrast Shabbos and Yontif, the Gemara says and the Medrash says that Hashem tells the Malachim that the Jewish nation, they define when Yontif is, right? And we know this to be true. We can be Ma'abar the Shana, we can be Ma'abar the Chodesh, and we're in control of when holidays happen, when Yontif happens. Nowadays, we are still in control because he'll set up a calendar, but used to be that we were literally in control. Any two Jews that were kosher le'edus were able to come in and say, I saw the moon, and those two people were pretty much responsible for when the rest of Klal Yisrael would celebrate Yom Kippur, Pesach, whatever other Yontif was coming up. They were responsible for that. So we create the Yom Tov, we own time in that sense. As contrast that to Shabbos, Shabbos comes whether you want it to come or not. Shabbos is coming, right? We all know that from getting ready on Friday. Shabbos is coming. There's nothing you can do about it. So Hashem set Shabbos into motion, right? Hashem created for 6 days, and then he created rest on Shabbos, and he ceased to do creative action on Shabbos. And it says that Hashem stopped. Well, I think one of the answers of how Hashem could have had, it's because Hashem split it to the millisecond of, probably even thinner than that, but to the exact time of when Shabbos, he created literally up until Shabbos started and then stopped immediately. So it was like there was no added time to Shabbos, there was no taken away time from that first Shabbos. The first Shabbos that Hashem made, it was the purest Shabbos because it was creation right up until that point, and then that ended creation. It was over at that point, meaning what Shabbos represents, which is refraining from creation, from just being with what you have already created, that was the purest form of it. There was zero creation done on Shabbos, and there was 100% creation leading right up to Shabbos. And that first Shabbos and every Shabbos that we have is in the purest form just living with what you have created already, in a sense that human beings couldn't manufacture that had Hashem not set something like that up, right? Where we're able to have a time to just exist with what we create and not be able to create anything new. So I think that is, Shabbos represents the opposite of Chanukah, where Chanukah represents man-made purity, Shabbos represents God-made purity, right? It's Hashem's purity. If you look at the Midrashim about Shabbos, that Shabbos is a chem de genuza, right? That comes from Hashem's storage house. It's something that's so beloved to Hashem because it's Hashem's purity. That's why the Torah was given on Shabbos. It's the purest day. It's a pure day, but like an ultimately pure day, a godly pure day. And I think that the two bookends to the Mayadim, to the Yamim Tevim, which we as a nation control, it's sort of like a journey from Shabbos to Chanukah, if you will, right? So you start with Shabbos, which is the seventh day that Hashem created, and Hashem placed that into the calendar, into the week. That comes every single day, every single week, whether or not you want it to or not. But Hashem didn't want to just live in Shemayim by himself and have his own little Shabbos. Hashem wanted a world that would mimic Hashem, that would imitate Hashem, and that he would be able to reciprocate kindness to them for acting good the way he acts good. So Hashem gave Hashem wanted to give the whole world, but he ended up giving one nation the power to do what he did, right? To control time in the way that he set time. He set up a certain day, so we have the power to set up certain months and certain days to come within a month, right? We have the power to control time the same way Hashem originally did. And I think that the same way Shabbos is a seventh day, I think that's why all the Yamim Tovim are 7 days long, and the ones that aren't Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are in the seventh month, right? The Rechaim HaKadosh says this. I think they all have aspects of seven because if the Yom Tov is us mimicking Hashem almost, right? It's us pretending that we are, not pretending, but it's us being like Hashem and controlling time and controlling time to set a meeting together with Hashem. And I think that the Torah starts with Shabbos and it goes through the Mayadim and it ends with Sukkot because that's the end of the biblical Yamim Tovim. But there's another one that the Torah is trying to hint at, and that's why it talks about the menorah, because it's trying to tell us that as an absolute contrast to Shabbos, you have the story of Hanukkah, which is man-made purity, which did not look as pure as you would have liked it to. But it was a bunch of people trying as best as they could to be as pure as possible. And when they do that, when we do that in our lives, then Hashem a lot of times, not always, but Hashem a lot of times will smile down on us and show us that, you know, He'll let us find that jug of oil. He'll let us find that godly purity, right? If we put forth our man-made purity, Hashem will give us the rest of that godly purity sometimes to show us that He's there watching, and that our mission in the world, and specifically on Hanukkah, is meant to teach us this, that our mission in the world is to bring as much purity as we possibly can. Is it going to look like a purity of Shabbos? Definitely not. But that shouldn't stop us. The fact that it's not 100% pure shouldn't stop us from trying to get as close to that absolute purity as we can, doing our absolute best, coming in, if you only have an aluminum, then light an aluminum menorah, right? Not every menorah needs to be gold. But I think that's the message of Hanukkah, which is why it seems to show up over here at the end of Parshas Hamayadeis. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a Freilich and rest of Hanukkah.